from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. It's a Tuesday on Sports Daily. Jacob Albrecht, Tommy Kester alongside you. Glad to be here with you on this Tuesday. What a fun day, unless you're a Royals fan. Then you're an aggravated day. Can't wait till 6:30 to get the next game going here. Is the Royals, well, they stumbled through out of the gates there. And we told you, kind of hard to predict Brady Singer right now, and he battled and did his thing. But the Royals, boy, they have really struggled in minute. What is that now? Like, what is that? 15 out of 19 losses or something in Minnesota, just something absolutely insane.
Yeah, I think they're 2-6 lately in the last eight games they've played.
It's been bad. It's been bad there in Minnesota. We'll get more into that. Jacob Albrecht here alongside Tommy Kester. The IHOP hotline is open if you need to vent, Royals fans, 869-1240. It's brought to you by IHOP, which is excited to bring back its all-you-can-eat pancakes deal through September 15th. Jad Chambers is there for you. Thanks to all those listening to us on KFH, on the Odyssey app. Thanks to those of you watching us on 12 News Connected on Facebook, YouTube, and X. You can leave your comments in those places as well. Glad to be here with you. We've got an AP Top 25 poll that came right as we left the air. These things love to drop at 11 o'clock, apparently. So we'll look into that, where it means, what it means for K-State, KU, pretty much the same as the coaches' polls. But I do, and my buddy Brandon Zinner did some of this last night on K-Witch. Do you want to look at the schedules for KU and K-State? We've spent just a little bit of time on that. But boy, I got to tell you, if preseason predictions are right, you've got a tale of two seasons there as far as the difficulty of a schedule between KU and K-State. KU's is significantly easier as of now. And of course, that will change. But we'll take a look. We'll tell you what we mean. We get a little more clarity on the Hollywood Brown situation for the Chiefs. I think we could classify it as good news coming out of Chiefs camp yesterday as it pertains to Hollywood Brown and that injury. Certainly could have been worse news, but we'll get into that as well, what it means for the Chiefs. Making our way through it. Tommy, how are you this morning?
Man, I'm good. Happy Tuesday. Good to see you today. It was great to wake up this morning to the rainfall and all of that. I mean, it just kind of dumped. So glad that we got that at least. I know that it was kind of a loud and rowdy morning and some people were without power and that sort of thing. But from a rain perspective, definitely good to get that downpour.
Yeah, it is good to see. It's a Tuesday. Tuesday's my watering day in the new restrictions. So I'm like, I'm going to water anyway, even though it rained. You know, it's the only chance I get. So I probably have a jungle on my hands. But yeah, it's all do rain dances right now and hope it fell over Cheney Lake. I have not looked to see if it fell over Cheney Lake yet, but I know a lot of places got a lot of rain. So yeah, we're always happy about that. We will have three different giveaways for you today on the program. We'll get you a chance to win a really cool opportunity to go see and maybe meet Tim Tebow this weekend and some other local baseball legends. Give you a chance if you're a gun and knife enthusiast to go to the Gun and Knife Show, and then some HTO as well that we typically give away. So all of that coming for you as well. Tommy, it was a frustrating night for the Royals. You know, you don't like to kind of come out of the gates like that. It just sort of, you know, cuts the sails and cuts the wind out of your sails and all those things. But they couldn't get it done. It had a promising start, though. You start the game off, you get a Bobby Witt Jr. home run, you're up. And then, you know, one bad inning for Brady Singer can escalate quickly. And that's kind of his thing. Like all that came with two outs, by the way, all of it.
Yeah, I mean, it did. And the thing about Brady Singer and the way that second inning played out for him, and you mentioned the way that it can kind of pile up on him, it was really kind of spiraled out of control very quickly. You know, the home run, three-run shot to put the Twins up 4-2, and then, you know, another home run from Lewis, and that put the Twins up, you know, pretty much for good at that point. I think what's interesting about Brady Singer, and I've noticed this with him, and part of the issue, I think, with the spiraling is that when he has one bad batter or a couple of bad batters back-to-back, I don't know if it's, you know, a lack of precision or if he gets in his own head or what it is, but pitches that were sharp just a couple of batters prior are all of a sudden not sharp anymore. You know, he's leaving breaking pitches up in the zone. You know, he's catching too much of the plate. And that's kind of the way that spiral has worked throughout the season. That's definitely what happened last night. And, you know, it went from a 2-0 Royals lead after you mentioned that Bobby Witt Jr. home run and then Kyle Isbell driving in another run there in the top of the second. All of a sudden, with two outs in the bottom of the second, the Twins, they just jumped all over Brady Singer. And that's kind of the way it's been feast or famine for him throughout the course of the year. And sometimes with a guy like Brady Singer, when you start seeing that, and I'm sure that the Royals have noticed this throughout the season, when he doesn't have the best stuff, it's not because he's not, the mechanics are bad or, you know, because he's lost something on his pitches. I think it's a mental thing. I think he gives up a run or two and all of a sudden, you know, he starts throwing pitches that are easily center cut in the middle of the strike zone. And, you know, the batters typically will tee off on that.
And they leave him in, and I like that they leave him in, by the way, because it's for him, like, he's just going to go, like, that's why I love watching him pitch. Like, he's just going to get in there and fire away. Like, it was just, you know, he had a bad inning last night but he still got them, you know, through five innings. They were able to use Carlos Hernandez to sort of eat it. Doesn't really hurt your bullpen plan for the rest of the series. So that's part of the reason I like Brady Singer. And we talk about his stuff. It wasn't that he didn't have good stuff. He struck out nine batters in five innings. So it wasn't a stuff thing. He just let that inning sort of spiral on him.
Well, and that's what I mean. I mean, it's not, you know, that the mechanics are bad. It's not that he, you know, doesn't have the good stuff. It's just, and again, that's why I go back to, you know, potentially it being some kind of mental thing. You know, obviously you're going to give up a home run, a three-run shot to put the Twins on top. You know, with two outs, you could have gotten out of the inning. That's going to mess with your psyche a little bit, especially when, you know, you're a younger guy like Brady Singer. And again, it's one of those situations where it can snowball on you really quick. And all of a sudden the Twins have a 6-run second inning. To your point, they left Brady Singer out there. And I think it was a combination of a couple things. Number one, they want to see him work through situations like that. And to your point, he struck out nine through five innings. So his stuff was overall pretty good outside of, you know, the disaster of a second inning. But number two, it's the opening game of a three-game set against Minnesota. You don't want to have to run your bullpen out there in the second or third inning or even the fourth inning in game number one of a three-game set on a Monday That's like the worst case scenario for the Royals. So, you know, it's not like I don't want to say they were waving the white flag there by saying, hey, Brady Singer is not pitching great. We're going to keep him in there. We're just going to concede this game. I don't think that's what they were doing. But at the same time, you don't want to have to, you know, put a lot of strain on your bullpen as this series progresses. So I understand them leaving Singer in.
It's the right thing to do. And they'll do the same thing with Lugo in a little bit with, you know, with Reagan's. But I do have some concern still about the stamina of the starters and the effectiveness of the starters. It's hard for me to imagine that they will be as good, let's call it, as they were in the first half, right? Basically three starters that are worthy of being all-stars. Now, that doesn't mean they can't still be really good. That's not what I'm saying at all. I just think the rest of the team's going to have to step it up. They've been so good with runners in scoring position. I think you feel good about the offense, but the bullpen is going to have to probably bridge some of that gap, right? The bullpen will be a bigger part of what they need to do now versus what it was early in the season. And so that's okay. Like that, you know, that's why they brought in, you know, bullpen pieces at the deadline. They'd like to get Harvey healthy, obviously, but Ursa can help there. Bubic can help there. It's all right, but you know, you still need these starters to be effective for the Royals to make this run. And so now you get your other two aces sort of trying to level this thing out. And again, as we talked about yesterday, the reality is, Tom, you just got to make sure you get one of these. If you get one of these, you've lost one game in the standings. Okay, so it's not that big a deal. But if you don't get one of these, now you've lost three games in the standings. And that is a big deal. So you got to get one. You probably like tonight's matchup against the rookie, against the guy I believe who hasn't pitched yet in the big leagues, if that's still holding true on the projected starter for the Twins tonight. But you got to get the Royals this one probably. And then you still hope you can take 2 or 3. You still hope you can gain a game on the Twins. You know, gaining a game in the series probably feels bigger than losing one because you flip-flop. On the other side, and Austin brings up a good point, and we appreciate this, Austin. So it is Zebby Matthews, and that's a guy who's pitched for the Wind Surge this year, gets the call up to start tonight, which is pretty cool. You love to see that, and I don't know, you know, how he projects as a big leaguer. We can pull up his numbers here real quick for the Surge. Let's take a look at his minor league numbers. So this year, yeah, he's been solid this year. Really, really solid, actually. 24 years old, 260 ERA through 97 innings and a sub-1 whip. And he's been good, not just this year, he's been good in his minor league career. You know, an eighth round pick, but a really effective starter. And what does that scream to you, Tommy? Guy none of these players have ever seen or scouted. He'll probably be pretty effective tonight, right? Like he'll probably find some success tonight. We see that all the time. So the Royals are going to have to bring in. They're going to have to get a big start out of one of their aces. And that's okay.
There is a little bit of a concerning trend that I've noticed just in, you know, the brief research I've done in the last little while. This is the third series in a row for the Royals where they've lost the opening game of a series. And before that, prior to the three series openers that they've lost in a row, the last seven series before that, they had won the opening game in each one of those series. And that dates all the way back to the All-Star break. So really, you know, for a while coming out of the All-Star break, and, you know, it shows why the Royals have had such a great record since the All-Star break and they've had a lot of success is because they've been able to start off series in a really positive way. And even in the series, there have been a handful of them where they haven't won the series. They've lost 2 out of 3 or whatever. They've split 4-game sets. In the, you know, seven series after the All-Star break, they always won the opening game. The last three, though, they've dropped the opening game. Their backs have been up against the wall a little bit in each one of them. You know, that dates back to the Red Sox series and then, of course, the Cardinals over the weekend and now yesterday's opener against the Twins. So to me, that's a little bit concerning because you always want to see whether it's a 3 or 4-game set or in the case of the Cardinals, even just a small 2-game series. You want to see the Royals always start off each series in a great and positive way. That way they kind of control how that series will ultimately end up, whether they win the series or sweep or whatever, instead of having their backs up against the wall, which they are now again on the road against Minnesota. And, you know, to me, I obviously don't want to see that trend continue. I don't know if three series in a row is, you know, anything to get overly concerned about, but I do take notice of that.
Are we being unfair to, I think we probably are. And again, I totally admit this all the time. When you're in the middle of a playoff chase, this happens, and I enjoy that it happens. It means baseball's relevant. But are we being unfair already saying their backs are against the wall in this series, or already, you know what I mean? Always already making it feel a little more desperate probably than it needs to be. It was one game. You know, now if they lose tonight, yeah, then I think we probably can be appropriate with it. But if they win tonight, then it's just like an opportunity tomorrow and not anything else. So maybe we're overreacting slightly, but again, that is the beauty of relevant late summer baseball. That's the beauty of it, is to overreact. The beauty of it is to get so frustrated, you know, waste a day. Like, when was the last time? I mean, we're sitting, it's August 13th. It's August 13th, yeah. And we're neck deep in Royals. It's been almost, it feels like a decade. It hadn't been quite that long, but almost, since we've been able to even go through this as baseball fans. It's such a different experience. Why, you know, competitive and relevant baseball is still the best. Because you get it every day. It's the roller coaster of a season every day, and especially when you're in the middle of a playoff chase like this. You know, like you're the Orioles, or there's somebody, you know, you're one of these teams that's got all the distance on the rest of the field. Then you're like, okay, but man, when you're in the middle of it like this, you just want to get so frustrated and get them back out there, and they'll do that tonight. So we'll preview tonight's game a little more specifically as we make our way through. Again, Zebby Matthews, who's a wind surge guy. So, you know, good on you, Austin, for catching that. I saw a last name, didn't think a whole lot about it as I was looking at the matchups, and it didn't even dawn on me. But of course, it makes sense. So we'll look at that one a little bit later. We're going to look at these AP Top 25 polls. We'll get you a Hollywood Brown update as well. I am curious, when you look at KU and K-State's football schedule as it pertains to the polls, it's pretty wild. It's pretty wild to see the difference in the two schedules, at least based on preseason predictions. And I think, Tommy, that's pretty meaningful, potentially, to this college football season and the way it plays out. We'll get into that. Chiefs update. Let's set up our first giveaway. Let's do HTO first hour today. All you got to do to win some free iced tea, more than 20 flavors, some free rain coffee, iced, hot, however you like your coffee, from HTO. All you got to do is text keyword tea to the short code 20357. These will be good for any of the Wichita Metro locations, east, west, or in Derby. Again, that's T-T-E-A to the short code 20357. Message and data rates apply. You can enter once per day. Good luck, everybody. More Sports Daily right after this.
And 1240 KFH.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This portion of the program brought to you by Crestview Country Club. We appreciate Crestview's support of the program. It'll be a little soggy out there for the golf today, but boy, that's gonna make those fairways pop, Tommy. You've been working on the fairways this summer. They look good. I was up there, it was toward the end of last week, and some of that work is finally finishing up. It looks really, really nice out there, both the north and south.
Yeah, I think that's the difference between you and me. You're more glass half full. I'm probably more glass half empty. You say it's going to make the fairways look really good. You're right. It's going to make the rough really thick and really long and a lot harder to play. So
just don't hit it in the rough. That's easy.
I mean, I know you're a master at that. I know you never miss a fairway in the way you play golf.
That's right. You hit it. You only hit it about 75 yards, you can hit it straight. It's easy.
We call that old man golf. You don't have to really do a whole lot. Golf.
That's what I'm
trying. Right down the middle, nice and easy.
I am working on my old man golf game. 100%. That is where my game needs to live. And it was born that way in the Texas Panhandle. You got to play that way out of necessity because the wind. You think the wind's bad here? There's wind worse there with no trees. And so you better learn how to play old man golf. That's going to be my wheelhouse of my game is that.
Was it also because you couldn't go in the tall stuff because of the rattlesnakes? you had to be really concerned about?
Water moccasins. There weren't rattles. I didn't see any. I did. That's not true. I've seen plenty of rattlesnakes on the golf course. Yeah. Now, and I grew up in the country. You went about rattlesnakes. Like I grew up with rattlesnakes. I've, you know, the Indiana Jones, you remember that ball of snakes? I've come up on a snake pit in the backyard of my house like that. It's the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. I hate snakes, not so much because of a fear, but out of like a defense mechanism. When you grow up always on the defense from rattlesnakes, you hate snakes and they can all die. Sorry, animal lovers, the rattlesnakes can die. And I don't apologize for that. But we appreciate Crestview's support. No rattlesnakes out of Crestview. I've never seen a snake out of Crestview, in fact. Plenty of fish, though, out in the ponds. But we appreciate Crestview. Go check out the facilities. Check out those golf courses. See what we're talking about. They've got the fairways. They've been working on them. They look really, really good. Both sides, both north and south. And a lot of that work, I know they've been working hard on that, is paying off here. Tommy's got a real issue right now with a new fragrance out for men. A, are you a cologne guy, Tommy?
Yeah, I didn't used to be. My wife kind of got me on that. I mean, she'll buy me cologne, and then I feel like I need to use it. So,
Same. So, I guess Hellman's has a mayonnaise cologne out now, and it's being endorsed by Will Levis, which is really smart. Like, it's a fun campaign. It's really smart, but it begs the question of mayonnaise. And, you know, it's a funny, you know, kooky idea. He likes mayonnaise. It's kind of like the Patrick Mahomes ketchup thing. But mayonnaise, let's spend just a second on mayonnaise here. Through this conversation, we have found out, and I thought there aren't a lot like me. I'm 100% a Miracle Whip guy. Like, give me Miracle Whip over mayonnaise 10 times out of 10. It's not so much that I don't like mayonnaise, and I you know, if you or any of your guys are working on a big mayonnaise deal, I apologize for this.
But not that I know of.
I just like mayonnaise to me. It's a better ingredient to things than it is a sandwich spread. Like if it's used in making some other kind of dish, like, okay, fine. But as just a sandwich spread or like on a burger, I give me Miracle Whip, man. Like, cause it has some flavor. Mayo just doesn't have a ton of flavor. It just kind of, you know, it kind of lubes up the sandwich, and I get that. But it, you know, if I'm going to go that route, like I want a little flavor. And so I go, I'm a Miracle Whip guy always.
Yeah. You know, I'm happy to report that after yesterday's show, when you and I were at each other's throats, basically from start to finish, we agree on this. I've been a Miracle Whip person my entire life as well. It was always Miracle Whip over mayonnaise, to the point to, you know, when I was younger, if a sandwich or something had mayo on it, I probably wouldn't touch it. It had to be Miracle Whip. That being said, as I've gotten older, my palate has adjusted, and I can do mayonnaise. Like, it's okay. I'll eat it. I'm not going to turn a sandwich down that's got mayo on it. I'll eat a burger that has mayo on it, but I prefer Miracle Whip to this day.
It's not a knock on mayo. I am not anti-mayo. I'm fine with mayo. I just like Miracle Whip a whole lot more on a sandwich specifically. I catch a lot of grief from this, but my wife is team mayo for sure.
So is my wife.
And she, you know, she pretends like she doesn't like Miracle Whip, but it's pretending, because anytime I sneak it in there, we appreciate that, Rick, need the tangy zip of Miracle Whip. Anytime I sneak it in there, she likes it. You know what I mean? Like if it's mixed in, like I use it in my deviled eggs, or what, like she's like, oh, and that's, I'm like, that's Miracle Whip. When I was a kid, I would just eat Miracle Whip sandwiches, which are two pieces of bread with Miracle Whip. That's it.
Nothing else.
That was like that was one of my go-to snacks as a kid.
When I was a kid, it was similar. Honestly, it was white bread. It was Miracle Whip. I couldn't just do the Miracle Whip. I would have like the Kraft American cheese slices.
Oh yeah.
And that was it. Yeah. Just cheese and Miracle Whip on bread. Had to add a little bit more. Jad, he's actually against us on this. You're a mayo guy, right, Jad?
Jad, no.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Miracle Whip is too sweet. I mean, why not just, you know, pour two or three teaspoons of sugar onto a sandwich and there you go.
It's the tangy zip, Jad. It's more than sweet. Ketchup is just sweet, but we use ketchup all the time. And listen.
No, I don't actually. I don't like ketchup either.
And I'm team mustard now, like my preferred, because I don't want the sugar. You're right about that. I don't want anything. I try if I can to avoid things that are unnecessarily bad for me. So I just go with mustard 9 times out of 10, anytime I'm doing it. But I will tell you that mustard Miracle Whip together, incredible combination.
It's a good combo. I'll take that.
Mustard ketchup together is an incredible combination, which, you know, McDonald's made famous, obviously, with the Quarter Pounder. But, like, I love to mix condiments. Mustard and barbecue sauce together, incredible. Like, I am a condiment mixer. You can't really do that with any of them. With mayo, it doesn't really add anything.
And I'll tell, but I'll tell you, though.
Fry sauces
I will, one exception to that, sriracha mayo. Fantastic.
Yeah,
better than any other combo you've mentioned so far.
I don't think it's better, but I do like it. And now you're getting into a territory where you're good on a sandwich. Like, you get into the chipotle mayos and the, you know, all of those things. They're
the aiolis
good.
Of the world, which
garlic,
you know, is a fancy word for mayo, I think.
But mayo itself, like, I need, give me something with it.
What's always confused me about Miracle Whip, and don't get me wrong, I'm a Miracle Whip supporter, fan, defender, all of it. But have you ever noticed, and it's been this way for decades, on the actual Miracle Whip jar, it says salad dressing. Have you ever put Miracle Whip on a salad before? Because to me, that seems wrong. Like, I'll draw the line on that, and you know my opinions on mixing food and all of that.
Probably.
I just don't, like, has anybody ever been like, man, I'm going to have a tasty salad, and you know what? I think today I'm going to put Miracle Whip on top of my salad. I'm not sure that's ever happened.
Yeah, you're right, and it's bad marketing from the folks over at Miracle Whip. Because it's not salad dressing, it's a condiment, and that's always been people's argument. Because I've been having this fight since I was a kid eating Miracle Whip sandwiches. Like, people are like, it's not even a thing. It's just salad dressing, and I'm like, it's not a salad dressing. Who uses it? Nobody uses it that way. And then it kind of died. Like, Miracle Whip kind of, you know, this debate was hot, you know, 15 years ago, 20 years ago. Miracle Whip kind of died. And listen, I'm a big supporter. I've got some in the fridge right now.
And look, you know, in today's divisive world, and we're coming up on an election cycle. I mean, you know, you and I in our marriages should be an example that people can come together on both sides of the aisle.
That's right.
You know, because you're a Miracle Whip fan. I'm a Miracle Whip fan. Our wives are mayo. And we both make it work in our relationships. If we can make it work with the mayo Miracle Whip divide, then this country can make it work.
That's right. Just always remember that. Some people like ketchup, some people like mustard. That hot dog debate, I say put them both on there. I like them both. You want to have a mayo Miracle? Let's just have a little of everything. Let's just expand your horizons. Think outside the box. At the same time, understanding that Miracle Whip is a far superior condiment than mayo by itself. 869-1240, if you'd like to chime in on that. I don't even know how you'd classify. We'll just call it a condiment.
And, you know, by the way, good for Will Levis. I mean, you know, as far as that being an endorsement
awesome.
Deal, like, there's a Hellman's just did a commercial, put it out a couple hours ago, and it's fantastic. And I don't know a lot about Will Levis, but I mean, to his credit, this is a way to introduce him, I think, to the masses.
What are the chances, by the way, on him as we go back to sports? Is it relates to this on Sports Daily? I think Will Levis has a chance to actually be kind of good. And I don't know yet. And I wasn't sold coming out, but I thought he was much better than I thought he would be last year. And low key, the Titans have really improved, I think, that offense. Now, DeAndre Hopkins is a little bit banged up. We'll see. Remember, they brought in Calvin Ridley. They brought over Tony Pollard, which is fine. I think Tyjae Spears is really good. Even though they lose Derrick Henry, I do think they're off. They've invested a lot in that offense this offseason. They're sort of going all in, I think, to see if Will Levis has got it. And I don't think any of us gave him a chance. You remember the draft night and he kind of had to sit around and wait. I don't think any of us really gave him a chance. But I thought he looked pretty good last year. And I'm curious to see him this year as an NFL quarterback in that new look offense.
Well, and he was kind of thrown into the situation last year because of Ryan Tannehill's injury and played well enough to be able to be given the starting role for the remainder of last season. And to a point to where the Titans said, hey, we're going to try to build this offense around you. What I think is pretty impressive about Will Levis, and I don't know if he's going to be a superstar, probably not, but it happens quite a bit where you've got a new quarterback in the season prior with one coach, and then that coach leaves, a new coach comes in, and they want their own quarterback in that role. And, you know, it would have been absolutely timed right for the Titans to totally open up a quarterback search with a brand new head coach in there. They didn't do that. They stuck with Will Levis. You know, Tannehill's out. Malik Willis is out. They stuck with Will Levis, and they want to build that offense around him. I don't feel like that happens a lot when you've got a brand new coaching staff coming in. When they, I don't think anybody would have blamed the new Titans coaching staff to say, you know what, we're going to go out, we're going to find our own quarterback, we're going to trade for somebody or draft somebody, we're going to try to make it work with our own person rather than the guy that we just inherited. But they're gonna make it work with Will Levis, and I think that is a testament to what they see in him and what he could potentially do.
I mean, he may not be good. You know, he may not pan out. I think that's still very much a possible outcome, don't you? Like, I'm not saying sure. that I'm 100% convinced that Will Levis is the guy and going to be awesome and, you know, watch out. And
but what, what would have stopped Brian Callahan, the new head coach of the Titans, to say, oh, you know, Levis, we appreciate what you did filling in for Ryan Tannehill last year. And, you know, you were the starter to end the season, but Mike Vrabel's out. It's my team now. I'm going to make a change. I'm going to go try to find my own quarterback.
Like, and let's clarify, like, he didn't even complete 60% of his passes, which is, you know, is well below NFL standard, right? 2-1 touchdown to interception ratio, which for a rookie is actually pretty good. And I think that's what caught people off guard. And then, of course, he can run a little bit, right? Like, and that's that, you know, that athletic ability. He didn't run a ton, but he can stay upright, I guess we can call it. And he played 9 games, only carried it 25 times. He's not a running quarterback necessarily, but he can use it to his advantage, which has also become such a big part of, you know, the NFL. I would say the chances are less than 50-50 that in 2 years he's still the quarterback of the Tennessee Titans, right? But I don't blame them at all for building around him to see what he's got, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Like, let's see what he's got. He flashed a little bit last year. Let's see what he's got. You know, he's got the attitude to be successful. So can he follow it up? I don't know, but I don't blame him for, I'm glad they didn't just sit him with a bad roster basically and let it wallow away. Like, get some guys around and let's see what he's got. Let's see what he's got in the tank. Anyway, a quick aside on Will Levis. Let's take a quick break. We'll start. Let's save our college football talk for the top of the next hour. By the way, this football talk is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Let's come back. Let's get you updated on Hollywood Brown and check in from Chiefs camp yesterday. So we'll do that. And then we'll get into this overview of the schedule for KU and K-State. When you look at it based on the preseason expectations, very, very different stories happening there. So we'll get into that. We'll dig in deep in the second hour. Your calls always open on the IHOP hotline, 869-1240. It is wide open for you today. We'll get our second giveaway coming in the second hour as well. Thanks for watching us on 12 News Connected, by the way. We'll have more Sports Daily right after this.
KFH.
Welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. Glad to be with you on this Tuesday. Promising news, Tommy, I think, for Hollywood Brown. As promising as you can get, basically. That he didn't need surgery, which, you know, I guess it was just good to hear it. I don't know that anything really changed yesterday with the Andy Reid update, but I do think it reassured that things, you know, look like they're going to be the normal recovery and the minimums and all that. And if that's the case, he may be ready for week one. It'll be close. And I am curious to see how they treat that. I would imagine that he greatly wants to get on the field. How frustrating must that be for Hollywood Brown? You're in this situation largely because of the injuries you've sustained over your career. You come to Kansas City. We all feel like to get a year with Mahomes and then go get a big contract, which I still think is very much on the table. And then you play the first play, you take a bad tackle, you get this injury, which has nothing to do with your injury history. And you just got to feel so snake bitten right now if you're Hollywood Brown. So I would imagine that he wants to get out there quickly into the regular season. And I would be pretty surprised if he's not back by week two, if not the opener. But somebody has to step up. And that was the other part yesterday, is Xavier Worthy talked for the Chiefs. So, you know, if they don't have him in the first week against the Ravens, I don't know what it means. I do want to start thinking, though, about, like, what if he misses time? What if any of these guys miss time? What if Rashi Rice misses time this year? It's just an interesting change to the offense.
Well, I absolutely understand the desire to be out there for week one, and especially any game after that. The concern that I have is, even though he didn't require surgery, the risk of re-injury with that particular situation is high. I have nothing in common with Hollywood Brown. I want to be very clear about that on the front end, but I have broken my collarbone before. I was a kid, got body slammed at a birthday party, broke my collarbone, had to wear a brace for like 6 weeks, and, you know, obviously it was painful, but even after it healed, and I know that his wasn't broken, it was dislocated, so that's a difference entirely, but even after my injury healed, I still had a limited range of motion for a period of time. Again, I have nothing in common with Hollywood Brown, so his athleticism is different than mine, but I just obviously know that it took me a minute, even after the injury healed, to get back to a position to where I was back to normal. I can only imagine, and I know that the recovery and, you know, rehab and everything that he'll be doing is at a much different level, so it's probably going to go quicker. I'm just not sure that the prudent thing to do is to rush him back because of that risk of re-injury.
So that's, I from what I understand of the injury, I don't think there is a rushing back on this one. From, you know, from all the diagnosis and everything you see, it's like, when it's healed, it's healed. It shouldn't limit you once it's healed. And what I don't know about, what I'm pretty sure of, if I recall correctly, and know about collarbones, because I know Tony Romo had a bunch of these, like, it's not, the risk doesn't ever like enhance or go down. It just is a risk now for a while. And I don't know how long that lasts, but like, you're not any more likely or less likely based on the amount of time once it heals. It's just re-breaking a collarbone happens more easily than it did the first time. And again, I don't remember if that lasts forever. I don't think it does, but I don't, from what I can gather and what I'm sensing from everything, from the coaches and from all the, you know, all the doctors and things you see on social media that are trying to analyze this, it doesn't really matter. Like, once he's ready to go, he's ready to go. Like, there's not any.
But I do think that you have to look at what that part of the body impacts in your game. And I think positively, Hollywood Brown is very fast. This isn't a leg injury, foot injury, whatever. So it's not going to impact his speed or the way in which he runs routes, I don't think. But I do think that there could be a scenario where, even if it is healed, if that range of motion is not 100%, that may impact like his catch radius. You know, will they have to put the ball, Patrick Mahomes have to put the ball in a certain spot, or, you know, if it's up high or where, you know, wherever, is that going to limit Hollywood Brown in the catches that he can make for a period of time because he's dealing with this injury that it will be healed, but I think there's going to be at least a period of time where he might be limited with, you know, how he moves and what that looks like.
I'm trying to pull up Tyreek Hill's game. Tyreek Hill missed the minimum in 2019 when he had this injury. He just missed the four games, and it sounds like it is literally the exact same injury. And I don't have his game logs in front of me because I couldn't pull those up real quick. Maybe I can here, actually, real quick. So Tyreek Hill in 2019, he had the injury in week number two. He had it early in the year, and then he missed four games, and then he came back in week six and was effective, right? He had 5 catches, 3, 6, 6, 11. So it doesn't look like it limited him, you know, much, if it did at all. And I think those are moderately comparable players. Nobody's comparable to Tyreek Hill and what he does, but at least as far as, you know, how the Chiefs might utilize him to some degree. So I think the good news is I get the sense that he'll be back at the minimum. That's kind of the way I'm gauging this. And if he's back at the minimum, that could be as soon as week one. Maybe it's limited week one. Maybe they limit him just, I mean, there is, I suppose, something to, if you were planning on giving Hollywood Brown, I don't know, 8 targets a game in the offense, maybe you take the contact risk down by giving him 6 or 5 targets.
But, I mean, do you think that it's a legitimate concern that even if it is healed, that it's going to take maybe a little bit more time for the effectiveness to be back to
100%? I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm just seeing what you know, doctors and the from what I can gather, the risk isn't in any of that. The risk is just, and the risk doesn't change no matter when you come back. Re-breaking a collarbone becomes a risk anytime you break your collarbone.
And I'll tell you,
I have
right
not
now,
seen anybody say that they think he'll be limited in any way.
If I'm a defensive coordinator, like, you know, especially for the Ravens in week one, if I'm Lou Anarumo with the Bengals in week two, whenever Hollywood Brown returns, the first thing that I'm going to do with Hollywood Brown is I'm going to jam him at the line of scrimmage. I'm going to try to play physical with him at the line of scrimmage because, you know, not
easy,
that
easy, Greg Williams.
Well, I'm not putting a hit out on the guy. Like, I'm not trying to hurt him. But what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to play physical with him in that, you know, period of,
but
you know,
you're trying to play him that way.
But I'm going to try to jam him up at the line of scrimmage because, you know, again, this is not going to impact his speed or running routes down the field or whatever, but it could potentially impact, you know, how physical he can be in getting separation, right? Like, think about wide receivers and what they try to do to break getting jammed at the line of scrimmage.
Correct.
You know, you're extending your arms out. You're trying to do whatever you can to get around it. And if there is any kind of limitation with that range of motion, that might be a challenge, at least initially, for Hollywood Brown to be able to do.
I think the most important question in all of this is, will the Chiefs adjust their plan knowing his re-injury risk is higher? I don't know the answer to that. And I don't even have a strong take on that, on whether they should or they should not. I think what I'm most curious about is anybody else on the roster capable of it in spurts, in times during a game, at any point, if it's extended time, stepping into the role they envisioned for Hollywood Brown? And I don't know that there is. I think Worthy and Rice have different skill sets. Well, I don't know about Worthy, honestly. Like, we got to see Worthy play. So maybe he can. I'm not sure. And he talked yesterday, and look, he keeps talking about, you know, the challenge for him. The number one challenge is that playbook, and he just is like buried in the playbook and trying to learn all that. And maybe he can. It's a nice insurance policy. Maybe the insurance policy for Rashee Rice ends up being an insurance policy for Hollywood Brown. I don't know. Maybe Hollywood Brown this year, we need to temper expectations and think of him as just a weapon when they've got him, but not the main weapon. Rashee Rice is... maybe that, well, Travis Kelce is always going to be the main weapon, but Rashee Rice is, you know, he's the guy. He's the proven guy. And it's almost like we have to make two adjustments. One, the likelihood of Rashee Rice not getting suspended increases every day. And two, the likelihood of Hollywood Brown staying healthy, not just for this, but for any reason, we're never that high anyway. So maybe we do need to readjust, because I've always thought of Hollywood as potentially being Mahomes' go-to guy. Maybe that's not what they need him to be. And that's, I think, what will take some time to think about. Maybe it's not hot. Maybe Hollywood's option three or option four. I don't know. But hopefully they get him back quickly. It does at least get promising with the, you know, with the news we've gotten over the last 48 hours or so with that collarbone. When we come back, we're going to pull up the AP Top 25. And we're going to pull up the schedules for KU and K-State football. One of them has a much easier path based on preseason expectations than the other. We'll explain when we return on Sports Daily. It's all Brockton Caster. We'll have another giveaway for you in the second hour. All kinds of fun coming. Don't go away.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH. This is Sports Daily with Jacob Albracht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Hour number two of Sports Daily here. IHOP Hotline's open for you, brought to you by IHOP. Excited to bring back its all-you-can-eat pancakes deal through September 15th. That number is 869-1240. That's where Jad Chambers can chat with you as you want to talk about anything we're talking about on the show. Jacob Albracht here alongside Tommy Kester. It is Sports Daily. We've got our HTO giveaway going right now. We'll get you another opportunity to win another prize in this hour, so don't go away. Royals coming up later on KFH and the Odyssey app, always available for free. Tune into KFH. The broadcast tonight starts at 6:30 for the Royals on the road facing the Twins, or you can simply download the Odyssey app and search for KFH. We'll take a closer look at tonight's game a little bit later. Royals going up against a guy that's been pitching for the win surge all year. So we'll get in on that later in the hour as well. But as we've been mentioning, let's talk about this schedule. So the AP Top 25 poll comes out. We had the coaches poll. Now we get the AP Top 25. This is the one I think typically over the course of time we use more often early in the season. You have Kansas State in at 18. This one, they are behind Oklahoma State and Utah, where they were in the middle of them in the coaches poll. Kansas comes in at 22, just behind Arizona. So it's the same five teams represented by the Big 12 in this poll as it was the coaches. A little bit different order. Both the AP and the coaches are high on Kansas, which is always good to see. We expected them to be high on Kansas State. All in all, just fine with the poll, Tommy. It's not all that different than what we saw out of the coaches.
No, it's not. And I figured it would be pretty similar to that. You usually don't see a ton of differences between the very first coaches poll and the very first media poll. There are some slight differences here and there, but I do think that it's telling a little bit as far as the order of the Big 12 teams. As you mentioned, Kansas State behind Oklahoma State in that initial media poll. So I do think that, that's going to be interesting to watch. And of course, when the dust settles at the very end of the season, both the coaches poll and the media polls, neither one of them have any Big 12 team particularly high. And I think that we will see at least one of those teams, if not more, higher than where they started the season, I guess. I think that is interesting. But I definitely was not expecting there to be a major shakeup between both polls.
No, I didn't either. And so that brings the question of the schedule. And we talked about this a long time ago. We haven't really expanded on it much lately. But if you look at the two schedules for these two teams and you just take these polls at the surface, you will have Kansas State playing Arizona, Oklahoma State, Kansas, not Utah. But that's three, right? Three of the five. So three of the four other ranked teams sit on the schedule for K-State. Now, all of them are coming in Manhattan. So there's the good news, right? Those are all games coming in Manhattan, but those are the teams. And if, you know, that's point A, I think. And then you go to Kansas and you look at their schedule. I believe, Tommy, correct me if I'm wrong, other than K-State, they don't play a ranked team in the preseason rankings. They won't play a preseason ranked team other than Kansas State this year. And we've, you know, Kansas's schedule is softer than K-State's. There's no doubt about it. So in the non-con, and remember Arizona is a non-conference game this year for Kansas State because it was scheduled before. You've got Tulane, who's on the, you know, on the up, and Arizona, and then their cupcake UT Martin. I mean, that's up against Illinois and UNLV. It's going to be a tougher sled for K-State this year. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, it is. But I mean, keep in mind, we're talking, you know, preseason polls. I think that there are a handful of Big 12 teams on both KU and K-State's schedule that probably once both the coaches poll and the AP poll dropped, felt like they were robbed, you know, felt like they should have been included, you know, in both of those polls. I'm looking at Iowa State and West Virginia as a couple of those teams. And so, you know, there are always going to be a couple of teams that feel like they should be in. And
this preseason.
It's preseason.
This will change.
I don't disagree with you that overall the schedule is softer for Kansas, just looking at it on paper compared to Kansas State. But I do think that there are a couple of teams on both schedules that, you know, maybe are not really, like, one may end up being more difficult than anticipated. One may end up being, you know, a little bit easier than anticipated. And so I do think that it will balance out slightly as the season progresses. But yes, overall, I'm not going to disagree with you. Kansas does have a softer schedule this year than Kansas State does.
There's and again, preseason and all of this. Asterisk, asterisk, asterisk. These are preseason rankings. This will all change. Maybe never more than now because of, you know, the transfer portal. So some of these teams are going to be really good that we're not expecting. Some of them probably won't be as good. Again, this is all just preseason. But
you know, to your point, like, you know, Kansas doesn't have to play Oklahoma State. I mean, you know, Utah is not on, you know, either team's schedule for this year. So they both kind of, I guess, luck out in that regard. You know, I think that I mentioned both West Virginia and Iowa State, you know, probably feel like they should get a little bit more respect in the Big 12.
Absolutely.
Than what they have as far as the preseason polls are concerned. Both Kansas and Kansas State play both of those teams this season. The only difference is Kansas State plays both of those games on the road, where Kansas goes to Morgantown, but they get Iowa State at home. So there's a little bit of difference there. But, you know, I feel like overall, it's when we say softer, like when I say softer than Kansas State, like that's relative to the other team's schedule. There's no such thing as an overall soft schedule, right? I don't
not
think.
In the Big 12,
not in the Big 12,
no.
Because there's so much parity between all the team or most of the teams, at least in the conference. So it's not, I'm not calling it a cupcake by any means, but relative to K-State's schedule, KU's is slightly softer, at least on paper.
That's what I mean. There, and again, like I don't think either of the schedule, I don't think any schedule in the Big 12 will end up being soft this year, but I mean, look, we have preseason expectations for a reason. And the point of all of this is KU avoids, right? They avoid Oklahoma State in a schedule. I think if you had to cherry pick, you'd like that if you're a KU fan. You avoid Arizona. Even though Arizona is not a conference game for Kansas State, they still got to play them. And both of them get to avoid Utah. But like when we talk about the prospects of this season, and the overall expectations and hopes and desires, it's to reach the CFP for both of these teams. It's to win the Big 12 for both of these teams. So this stuff does matter, and it is relevant now to be curious about these things because we've talked about it before. Two teams getting in for the Big 12, that's the goal for me in a 12-team playoff, to get two in. But in order to do that, you can't have your second team have like four losses this year. It's not going to hold through. And so that's what I think we watch for as much as anything is, can both of these teams potentially navigate their schedules with two or fewer losses? And that, and they have to play each other.
Well,
it's going to be
one or the other, I think. I mean, I don't think that we're going to be in a scenario where both KU and K-State have two or fewer losses. I think it will be one or the other, in my opinion.
Well, right. I don't disagree with that by any means, but I think our perfect scenario, a scenario that is not totally out of the question, by the way, is that they could both get in. And it could totally happen, right? Like, it's not, if these are the two best teams in the Big 12, then I would say the likelihood is high, right? And they could play each other three times this year in the new format, in theory. They'd play in the regular season. If they're the two best teams in the regular season, they'd play in a Big 12 championship game. And depending on seeding, they could play again in a CFP. Like, that, all of these crazy and wacky things are not just like pipe dreams. Both of these teams are really good. And I think the shuffling of the order of the top five teams we're seeing in these polls could be any order, right? And we've talked about it too. Like, it could be any order for those five, but it's not out of the question to think of Texas Tech or West Virginia or Iowa State at this point being better than preseason expectations. Those three schools in particular are very optimistic about what they'll do this year. So that'll be the fun part of the Big 12. But if we are looking at it, and if they're both going to get in, or really any two Big 12 teams, I don't think that they can go into the Big 12 championship game with more than, basically, I don't think a Big 12 team with four losses is going to get in. I don't. Three is going to be cutting it close. And because of the parity of this league, you know, you still think of, you know, almost like it's the NCAA basketball tournament, because the league is going to be top to bottom so good, because it's going to be so difficult to navigate the schedule with only a couple of losses or one, you think of it as like a, you know, punch your ticket through the Big 12 championship game. It'll be tough to get that at-large team in. I still think a team does it. Predicting which one, I don't know, because I'll tell you this too. I have not looked at, outside of Kansas and Kansas State, I have not looked at one other team's schedule out of the Big 12. Not one. Like, I'm not in the business of that. Like, but it's good this year because they're both, it's good for these two teams this year because we think they both can be, and not just we, everybody in the country thinks that both of these teams are contenders for the playoff. That's why they're both in a preseason top 25.
Yeah. And it does add an additional wrinkle in the Big 12, you know, where before every team played every other team in the conference. And really, the only thing you needed to look at was home and away, or even, I guess, time of year when the two teams match up. If you're going to, you know, Iowa State late in the season and, you know, you could have bad weather, you know, you're going down and playing in the state of Texas in early September when it's really hot. Like, there were some other factors that you could look at, but you knew that every team was going to play every other team. It's different now with that unbalanced schedule when you've got the additions of these two or the four new teams and overall a net growth of two teams in the conference. So it does make it a little bit difficult where, you know, strength of schedule will absolutely play into it a little bit. I've said it before and I'll say it again. If I had to put my money where my mouth is today, as of right now, what we're looking at with the Big 12 at the end of the season, I think we're going to see a jumbled mess. I think we're going to see four or five teams that are all going to have the same number of losses or around the same number of losses, probably looking at three, four, maybe five losses. And it's going to be a very slim margin that separates number one from number four or five in the conference. I think it's going to be a muddled mess this year because there's nothing with any of these teams, even Utah, which has consistently, I think, nationally been, you know, rated as the team that has the most potential to separate themselves from the remainder of the pack. There's not a whole lot that stands out to me that says this is a team that will just roll, like run over every other team in the conference. I mean, Cam Rising is a really good quarterback. We haven't seen him on the field in quite a while. It's kind of like Jalen Daniels at KU. So there's not a lot with actually any of the teams. And you know, of course, Avery Johnson could absolutely exceed his potential this year and take the country by storm. KU as a whole, you know, could rise above. Oklahoma State, you never know what's going to happen with them. They could end up being a phenomenal team. I think more than likely, though, at the end of the year, we're going to see a jumbled up mess that's not going to bode well, at least this year, for the Big 12 when it comes to the CFP.
No, I don't disagree with that. I don't. This CFP process will be fascinating. It will be, I think, hard for, when they're not mandated to do it, it's going to be hard for this committee to not put in two Big 12 teams, two ACC teams, because that still leaves, like, if you do that and then take the one best other league, whatever that is, that still leaves seven spots for the Big 10 and the SEC. One could get three, one could get four. You know what I mean? Like, are we really looking at a Big 10 this year that's going to put four teams in the CFP? And the only way you do is because you realize those teams just beat up on garbage schedules at the bottom end of the conference. The SEC, I think you could see four in pretty easily, right? Like, you don't have to imagine that hard. But the reality is they're going to play a lot more games against bad teams than the Big 12 will this year. So that process for the CFP, it's going to be tough to only take one team from the other two leagues, because if you do, you're probably not only taking one from both of them, right? And if that's the case, in what may be the most competitive league this year, is the dust settles and you're the CFP and you're that committee, are you really comfortable only taking one team from what you felt like was the most competitive league in the country top to bottom this year? So that dynamic will come into play, because the ACC, you're going to have the same thing. There will be worse teams at the bottom of the conference in the ACC than there are in the Big 12. It will be a difficult exercise if the Big 12 sits as the only Power Four with one team in. It just will, because I think as a collective, all the teams are going to be generally viewed relatively favorably. And I just don't know how the committee is going to do that. That's why I think two teams will ultimately get in. Now, if you get one with, you know, four losses and you're sitting there with top end Big Ten teams with one or two, okay, fine. Like, that's just gonna be the way it is. But I do think they're going to work to get two in this year. Now, the mandates may change later on, but I think this year they'll try.
I think the best case scenario for the Big 12, from a conference perspective, from the top down, is if they have Utah. I'm going to say Utah and one other team, K-State, KU, Oklahoma State, maybe Arizona.
Why would why couldn't that be both KU and K-State? I'm just curious.
Because I think that if you're going to get multiple teams in, it would be foolish to think that Utah will not be one of them. I mean, as I do think that while there's going to be, there obviously is parity in the conference, and while it could end up being a jumbled mess, I do think that if you're looking at multiple teams in the CFP from the Big 12, I don't envision a scenario, I guess barring maybe another Cam Rising injury and Utah just falling off a cliff, I have a hard time thinking that they wouldn't be one of the multiple selections in the CFP from the Big 12.
So last year, three losses would have been the cutting point. Like, you would have got cut at three losses. There were exactly 12 teams with the two losses of the ones that made it in. Now, there were some other smaller schools that had fewer, but of the major conferences, that was it. And somebody would have had to be left off of that list, because you would have had to have the best of the non-Power Five, which I think would have been Liberty, unbeaten Liberty. So Oklahoma would have been pinched as a two-loss team. So I think if we look at just last year as a guiding point, three losses is too many losses. Let me go back one year. Let me go back to 2022 and see if the same thing held true. No, you had some three-loss teams that year. Kansas State would have been it with three losses. So would Utah. So it's not like a guaranteed thing. I'm going to go back one more year just to give us a healthy little sample size. In 2021, three losses would have been, Utah ended up with three losses at number 11. Other than that, everybody else would have been pinched on that. So I think when you look at it, you have to think about it as three losses. So I'll give you two scenarios. I think the best case scenario for the Big 12 is for any one team to run it through with zero or one losses. That's your best case scenario. And then have that team lose in a Big 12 championship game. That would get you two teams in. I think, right? So if you've got any, let's say it's, let's just use KU and K-State as an example. Let's say one of them runs it into the Big 12. They go through the regular season. They only have one loss. And the other one doesn't really matter, has a couple or two, just gets into that game and then beats them. And now you've got two teams. You've got a Big 12 champion, which will get in. And then you've got that at-large all of a sudden who had a really good regular season with one or two losses. I think that's the scenario that it happens. But then that gets to the likelihood of it happening based on what we've talked about a thousand times. What are the chances one of these teams is able to do that in the regular season? It seems low.
It does seem low.
So good.
Yeah, it does seem low. And that's why I said a few minutes ago, I think the best, not the best, but the most likely scenario is that there's going to be just a wild mess.
Would only get one team in. I mean,
yeah, I think that you, I don't think it has to be totally all or nothing. Like, I don't think that there needs to be one or two teams rise above everybody else and just run over the rest of the conference. I don't think it has to be that. But I also don't think that when I say like jumbled mess that it's going to be every team has four losses. I mean, I think that you could have maybe like let's use Utah as an example. Utah could have one loss or two losses, right?
Yeah.
But then after that, then you end up having a handful of teams that, you know, maybe have three or four. But because of the parity from a talent perspective, one of those three or four lost teams could beat Utah in the Big 12 championship. And then the committee would have no choice, I think. Then obviously you have the auto bid, but you're not going to leave a one loss Utah team potentially out, right? Like that's just a hypothetical scenario there. But I do think that even if it is a jumbled mess, and I do think that's likely, that doesn't mean that all the teams are going to be in that jumbled mess. There might be one that rises above.
So if we go and look at, yeah, there might be one, and then that team would need to lose in the Big 12 championship game. That's your path, I think.
That's the scenario.
Yeah. I look at Ohio State's schedule. They do have to go to Oregon. They do have to go to Penn State. They're going to get Michigan. They'll be tested. You know, so that's a team that, you know, is not going to be, as you look at the top of the standings, we know the SEC teams are all going to be tested, right? It's really like when you look at it, the top teams now out of the Big Ten, if I'm looking at it, Penn State has to play USC, who's getting a little bit of preseason love, but they also get Ohio State, as we mentioned, but they don't get Michigan. Their schedule, they get Washington, who I don't think people have high expectations for, but their schedule could end up being really soft, right? If they lose to Ohio State and end up with two losses, it's going to be on a soft schedule based on what we're seeing in the preseason. Michigan, let me pull up Michigan, the defending champions, of course. They do have to play Texas in that early game. They get Oregon and Ohio State. They'll be good. Their schedule will hold through. You go down the list, you get to these SEC teams. You know, Florida State is up there out of the ACC is the highest team. I don't know who does Florida State play. They get Clemson. Miami's going to be in there. Oh, they play Notre Dame. So they're probably, if they can make it through, going to have a good enough at-large schedule. But the difference between these teams and what the Big 12 has, like you take K-State, for example, K-State may not have as many top-end games, but they're never going to have a soft game, it doesn't feel like, outside of the opener. Of these Big 12 teams, then, you think it's Utah. Who would be the most likely to make that sort of special regular season run? I still maintain I think K-State has that best chance. I don't, and it's just because they've, like, basically what you're doing is you're taking, to me, it's down to three. And this is no offense to Kansas, because I think Kansas absolutely in a best case scenario could do it. And I know this bothers you, but I just don't know how I can predict a full season out of Jalen Daniels. But if you tell me he plays every game, then I'll include them in this conversation too. I do think any of those four teams, and I just am a little bit ignorant on Arizona, but I think any of those four could absolutely, if you're looking at possible outcomes this year, end up having that type of special year. I do. I think I don't think the chances are high, But I do think it's in their range of outcomes for those four teams. And maybe I need to put Arizona in. Again, I don't know enough about Arizona. And I really think it's possible for, you know, for Utah, Oklahoma State, and Kansas State. Oklahoma State more because we've seen it so many times over the years where they've had that season, basically. Utah, because they're, you know, they're consistently at the top out of this group the most. And K-State, it's the Avery Johnson effect for me. I think he's going to be a Heisman candidate this year. So it's all there for the Big 12. The problem is there's so many of them. And when you get down in the schedule and you're like, oh, good, this is the week we play XYZ. I mean, maybe we think of Houston that way. That's kind of it, right? That's almost the only one. And that's Houston, who's had so many great years in recent memory. It's going to be tough. I can't wait for it. It's going to be the best college football season we've had here, maybe ever, I think, because I think they're both going to be good in there at the end. But, man, it's going to be tough. Every time I look at it. But it's going to make it fun. It'll make it fun. And what are the chances, you know, what are the chances you get two teams out of the Big 12 in? I'd say 50-50. What are the chances they're KU, K-State? I would say about, I don't know, 25% if you're the best. But it's out there. It's out there. It's possible. And until we see it happen, why not? All this football talk, man, it's just getting close, isn't it? Let's set up our second giveaway here. You can win a pair of tickets to the All Ball Shepherd's Way fundraiser. Speaking of a great college football player, with Tim Tebow, August 16th and 17th at the Crown Uptown Theater. Shepherd's Way is a residential career development program committed to empowering young adults or adults with intellectual developmental disabilities. Tim Tebow will be joined by local legends, including Gene Stevenson, Phil Stevenson, PJ Forbes, Mike Pelfrey. By the way, Pelf will join us later this week to talk about this event. Nate Robertson, Garrett Gould, more. All you got to do, here's how you win. Text the keyword Tim to 20357. Message and data rates apply. Winners will get some signed Tebow memorabilia as well. Again, that's Tim to 20357. Good luck, everybody. More Sports Daily coming right back.
...97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Glad to be back with you here. Sports Daily, everybody. Who's ready for college football season? You kidding me? Come on now. Like, we're rocking. We're rolling. It's time. It's time to get there. It is an exciting time. Tommy, I don't remember being this excited. And I say this, but nothing's changed about a college football season for about 1,000 different reasons than I am for this one. You've got the expanded CFP. That's going to make college football better in general. You have KU and K-State with bona fide legitimate chances.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Not just to win a Big 12 title, but to play for a national championship in a playoff. There have been, you could probably, and you can correct me on this if I'm wrong, because I'm not, you know, I didn't grow up with these two programs. You could count on one hand the amount of times where you felt like in August that K-State or KU had a legitimate chance to win a national championship, like forever.
Yeah.
I don't think that's overstating. I think that's reality. Yeah,
there have been a couple of times. There's never been a situation, at least in my lifetime, where it's been potentially both teams in the same year.
Right. That is the third point. To have one of them.
Yeah. I mean, you have to go back to 2008 for KU. But even then, I mean, in August, I remember that team under Mark Mangino and Todd Reesing was the quarterback. I think that everybody had an indication they were going to be good, but I don't know. I'd have to go back and look where they were preseason ranked, if they were. I mean, they were ranked, I know, going into that year, but I don't exactly know if the expectations were that they could compete for a national championship. Of course, things were a lot different back then as far as the number of teams and all of that and the way that you played for a national championship. But you have to go back to 2008. That was the last time for KU. For K-State, from a national championship perspective, I mean, there were some teams few years ago. I mean, the Colin Klein year, you know, was really, really good. I mean,
but did it start that way?
I don't know.
And I was going to ask you the same question about Bishop.
I don't know if it started that way. I mean, you go back to, the Michael Bishop seasons. What was that, 2000? Was that 2003? 2002, 2003, when that was K-State? I mean, they had a couple of years where they were, you know, right there to win a national championship alongside, like, Oklahoma and, you know, all of that. It's been a long time, and it's been few and far between for both of these programs.
That's a part of it, and then the fact that you get both is the other part, right? Like, that's the other part. So, and again, I want to overhype it, right? Like, I want to overhype. I want people to be that excited, because I think you have every reason to be. Both teams are in the top 25 preseason. That's fine. How many times does the team in the, you know, the late teens and 20s actually have a chance to go win a national championship? You could have said that about Texas last year, right? Texas had that opportunity. Nobody had Washington that high last year. So there are teams that do that. But I think the difference is why you like the chance even more for KU, K-State. It's because who they have at quarterback. The ceiling for both of these guys, Avery Johnson and Jalen Daniels, Tommy, is a Heisman. That's the ceiling. And that's not being crazy. That's not being outrageous. That is and go look at the odds in Vegas. We're not just saying that. You know, I think they're both inside the top 10 to 15 Heisman candidates this year. Okay, so it's not crazy to say these kinds of things. It seems crazy to say them, right? Because we just like, it's like, who are these two homers sitting there in Wichita, Kansas, talking about these two schools this way? But the reality, the proof is in the pudding. The reality's there for betting odds, the reality for all these things. Because no, these two aren't your favorites to win a national championship by betting odds, but their two quarterbacks are two of the, you know, real contenders at a Heisman, according to Vegas, right? And if that's true, and either of them were to be a Heisman caliber quarterback, don't you think then the outcomes for the teams elevate up to a top 12 in the CFP? That's all you need now to get in to play for a national championship. Gone are the days where you could win a Big 12 title and not get the opportunity. Days are long gone. We're in the new era. All you got to do is get a chair at the table, and the table now seats 12, not 4 or 2 in a lot of years. And that's why that whole combination becomes what we're so excited about. Ken asks, does KU have much of a home field advantage this year? Ken, I don't think anybody knows the answer to that. Honestly, I don't know. I mean, a half inch Arrowhead, it depends on what they draw, don't you think, Tommy? Like it just, you know, if they fill Arrowhead, then yeah, they're going to have a home field advantage. I just don't know that that's, you know, likely.
Yeah, I don't think it's you know, a net positive or net negative for Kansas either way. You know, it's not, I don't think it's going to be a detriment to them, but I don't really know if it's going to, you know, be a home field advantage, quote unquote, necessarily. I mean, the thing about like playing at Children's Mercy for the non-conference games, it's going to feel more intimate than playing at Arrowhead will, for sure. So will that translate to having it be louder in there? Maybe. I don't know, but then you're playing football on in a stadium that's meant for soccer. So that there's going to probably be some challenges there. Arrowhead is great. I love Arrowhead to death. My only concern about Arrowhead is the size and, you know, having a half full Arrowhead, which by Kansas standards will look really good. I just think it's going to be a difficult proposition to have them, you know, fill that stadium. I don't think that's likely. I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's going to be a net positive or net negative ultimately for Kansas. It might cancel each other out.
Get ready, everybody. Get ready. One more comment from a viewer we want to get to. John asks us, this is back to the mayonnaise versus Miracle Whip conversation. He says Hellmann's mayo is far superior to Chemical Whip. You're wrong about that, John. But the question is, does Tommy, is he okay with, you know, whichever of the white condiments touches other foods? You're good with condiments, right?
Oh, like condiments. Yeah, I have no issue with condiments. Condiments, that's completely different because a condiment accentuates the meal itself. And so I have no issue whatsoever with condiments basically anywhere. In fact, my wife would probably tell you, like, I go maybe too hard on condiments sometimes. Condiments, you know, spreads, dips, sauces. Like, I'm a fan of all of that.
Yeah, it's funny, too, because this is, you know, mayo too often for me when it comes to sandwiches is a lubrication more than it is an additional, you know, element to whatever the sandwich happens to be that you're eating.
And that's the reason why, even if I don't particularly prefer mayo, and I'll still eat it because what am I going to do? Eat a dry turkey and cheese sandwich?
Exactly. Yeah,
like, that's going to be terrible. You need to have something on there. So less about the flavor profile and more about, I agree.
Whereas Miracle Whip does both. As does mustard, whatever. Those act as the proper sandwich lubrication, but then add a new element to the flavor. Now, Jad, I know Jad's probably getting mad at me. I get it, Jad. When you mix that mayo up and you come up with some other concoctions, that's a different thing. We're just talking about plain mayo on the sandwich. Like, you know, like the sandwich that only has mayo or the burger that only has mayo. I just will prefer others, including Miracle Whip. So we appreciate the question there. There's lots of different ways you can get in touch with the program.
It does bring up my question. You say you're a mustard guy, and I like mustard too. Are you just a straight up like French's yellow mustard, or do you get into Dijon world?
I like all of them. I try, and I have not done a good job in the summertime. It's impossible with kids in the summertime. I try as I get older and understand that I'm never going to be a workout guy, like not extensively. I'm like, okay, well, what can I control? I could probably do a better job of, you know, eating better. Because for me, most of the time, food's food for fuel, right? Like, I just need to eat because I'm hungry. It's not like I'm whatever. So mustard, yellow mustard is like the condiment that is not bad for you. Right. Everything else is probably bad for you. Barbecue sauce, like all of it, except for maybe like straight up, you know, like Frank's Red Hot, like or whatever. So, yeah, I typically go. That doesn't mean I love spicy mustard. I love honey mustard. I haven't met many condiments that I don't like. I'll put it that way. I like all of it. But yeah, because of the fact that it's like, yeah, you know what? Let me. And I love the way mustard tastes. I usually just go mustard.
I've got a buddy that a long time ago, he got into smoking meats, and I'm into that world now. I do that quite a bit. I've got a Traeger. I do all that. But at the time, I wasn't. My friend was into it. And I went over to his house, and he had smoked a batch of chicken wings and had seasoned them up and had the smoke flavor on it, all of that. And I was a novice in that world. Like I said, I hadn't gotten into it myself. We sit down to eat dinner. My first question is, do you have any sauce for these wings? Like, are you going to toss them in something or have some ranch I can dip it in or whatever? He's like, I smoked this chicken. It's got the seasoning on it. It's got the smoke flavor. It doesn't need sauce. It doesn't need dips. And, you know, that's to this day, like, I disagree with that. Like, I'm always a fan. Like, give me something sauced. Give me a condiment. Give me a dip. Give me something like that that I can add to my food.
I'm okay with, like, dry rubs and stuff. Like,
I'm fine with it. I mean, I ate it. I'm good. Like, it's good flavor. But I don't know. For some reason, I'm always like, give me something to dip it in. Give me something to toss it in. I think sauces typically make it better.
Does that include barbecue?
Sure. You're
a sauce guy, not a dry rub guy.
Yeah.
I like both, but I probably prefer spicy barbecue sauce better. We had some barbecue. We were up in Kansas City. Had some barbecue with kids. It was good. But look, we like food on this show. You can always get, Mike says you can't have a dry BLT. Get it, Mike. Don't disagree. At that point, though, the mayo is strictly
throw the mayo on. I'm fine with it.
Yep. But it's not like enhancing the flavor of the BLT. It's a necessary part of a BLT. I got you, Mike, but I can just throw some mustard on a BLT and I'm good too. Or some Miracle Whip, even better. All right, 869-1240. That's the number to call if you'd like to chime in. Let's go back to the Royals in our final full segment. We'll look at some of the bets, anything out there we are interested in from that perspective tonight on the Royals. We didn't really like it last night. We'll see if that changes and preview tonight's game when we return on Sports Daily.
.975 and 1240 KFH.
Thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for fueling us up here at KFH and all the Odyssey Studios. Always getting a great cup of coffee there from Prairie Fire around the studio. Appreciate their support of the program. I appreciate your support of the program. However it is that you take us in, whether you're watching on 12 News Connected, whether you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, or X, whether you're listening to the show on KFH or the Odyssey app, we appreciate you and always are available for you, especially on the Odyssey app. You can go back and listen to the show anytime. All you got to do is Jad gets it on there. It's like a podcast. It's. I'm telling you, it's awesome. That Odyssey app is a fantastic tool, not just for us, but for lots of different things. Tommy, from a betting perspective tonight, not only is it a Seth Lugo money line opportunity, which has not been as fruitful as it was early in the year lately, but what's interesting is you get Seth Lugo on the money line against a rookie who's never pitched before in the big league, Zebby Matthews. Wind Surge fans recognize that name. Zebby Matthews has had a fantastic year for Wichita. He gets the call. And here we go. He gets the call. He was, I guess, preparing to throw a bullpen session for AAA. St. Paul, and he's been a really good pitcher in the minor leagues, Zebby Matthews. But what do you think about Lugo getting money line chances against a guy who's never pitched in the big leagues before?
Yeah, I mean, I like it. I do think that you're going to have a better opportunity betting wise if you bring that along another bet, like if you parlay them together. But I'll tell you what I like even more than the money line for Lugo. So this is something that you could potentially look at pairing up together. Do the over, like the over all night long. It's 8.5. That's the run line for the game tonight. And the reason I say that, the Royals have gone over the run line in their last six games in a row.
Yep.
Last six games they played, they've hit the over each and every time. You're talking about a guy that has never pitched in the big leagues before. So he has had really good numbers in the minors. He's pitched well for Wichita this season, but it's a different stage when you're facing major league hitters. On top of that, Seth Lugo has been kind of that feast or famine for the last four starts. He's gone one run, four runs, one run, six runs in his last four starts. So it's been back and forth for Seth Lugo. Now, if you're looking at that every other, then he's due for a really good game. But still, I mean, he's had that tendency where, you know, it's not always great for him. It's not always a stellar outing, at least the last four. So because of that, I love the over. I love hitting that over. And if you want to pair it with a Royals money line or whatever, I think that you're going to obviously get better odds in that scenario. That's the way I would do it.
So I'll tell you what I like, and I don't mind the logic there at all. I like Lugo to get deep into this game, and I like the Royals to win it. And I, because I'm a gambler, I might even give a run and a half and bump that up to plus 170. I can put those two together and get plus 221. If I just took the Royals on the money line, it gets you plus 150. So by that same sort of logic that the Royals offense might wake up and do some of these things, I may take the other side of it, but along the same lines and just bet on a Lugo game. The thing about Zebby Matthews is for Wichita, he was, I mean, lights out this year, Tommy. 1.95 ERA over 55 innings. His whip was well under one. I mean, just absolutely torching in Wichita. He's been up in St. Paul and thrown 19 innings in AAA, has not been nearly as good. 5.60 ERA, very hittable in AAA. So I think it'll be interesting tonight. And it look, it's a gamble. It's a bet, everybody. But Matthews was great in AA and has struggled in AAA. I think that probably tells us that, you know, if you're struggling in AAA, the chances of struggling in the big leagues are great. Oftentimes, though, guys can make the jump without it. He didn't make the jump. They put him in AAA, and he struggled there. And so I would say that if you're going to bet the Royals and you're going to bet Lugo and you're going to go down that road, give the run and a half. Because at that point, you're just betting that the Royals get to the young pitcher anyway. To your point on the run line, if the Royals get to him, you like the over, right? And Lugo has not been nearly as sharp, but if we go look at Lugo's, you know, what you just mentioned, how it's kind of been every other, which has been a trend for a little while for him now, which is kind of why I like that. It has been a little bit every other. What has been consistent are his innings pitched in a game. So the bet right now on Lugo, Tommy, and it's juiced way down, so you got to put it with something. I mean, it's down. He has not reached that bet one time since May 12th, two times since July. Sorry. I'm going backwards there. So he didn't get it in his last start, but before that in his starts, he did not reach it twice in about, I don't know, 10, 12 start. Like he almost always gets into the sixth inning. And if he gets into the sixth inning, he hits that bet. So those are the two that I like.
Yeah, you know, going back to your point about the run line and all of that, you have to go all the way back to July 23rd. That was the last time the Royals scored fewer than three runs in a game. It's been three or more every game since July 23rd. So if the run line is at 8.5, then you got to find another six runs after that three on either side to hit that over. So I do think that that run line is really appealing to me. That's how I'm going to ride the game tonight.
All right. We'll tell you when you can hear it right here on KFH next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.